The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody out there in Radio Land, this is James Young from the rock band Styx. If you are technically challenged, if you got trouble with that computer of yours, because Lord knows I do, you need to listen to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm the young one, Justin Lemmy.
We'll explain that. We're the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. So the story behind that, let me share that. So on Saturday morning, I did a broadcast remote, and it was out in public, and people came by, and I had at least three people that stopped by and said they like Tech Talk Radio. They like listening to the radio show.
Sure, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's really cool. And they asked about, they said, well, where's the other guy? And I said, well, he's not here. He is actually in Denver is where, you know, he does the show.
I actually live on Mars, but.
It could be. Shh. So, but what was so nice of these people is they would compliment you. They said,
of course.
Well, they said they love the show. They love the information. They said it's fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We have a blast. And they said, that other guy is perfect because he's young. And he counterbalances.
Keep going.
It took me a second. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If he's young and counterbalances, what does that make me?
Old. Sorry. Old. No, but keep going. My head is growing larger by the second here. I really like this. Keep going. Is there any more compliments?
You're
going
to need that snap filter with the big hat. That's what it is.
No, but whoever you are that said that, I definitely appreciate that. I am not young anymore, but I'm younger than Andy. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, those people remember tuning into Tech Talk Radio when we first started in Southern Arizona. You were on the show.
Yeah. Back in 2000.
Yep. Justin was on the show then. His voice was a little higher, just more like a this.
You know, I sounded like this. You know, I was still eating my Gerber and had my bottles.
But it was great because at any time we wanted to talk games, Justin was the guy.
Oh,
Justin,
yeah.
Justin was the guy. Which is no different.
I'm still doing the games.
Well, and that, I wanted to ask you about this because I've been looking for the last couple of weeks while I'm trying to get over this stupid cold I still haven't gotten over yet. But I have been looking at this game called Fortnite.
Oh, and Fortnite. I love it.
I know nothing about this game at all. Broadway, who does the show once in a while, steps in. Mm-hmm. He does the show. He's old like me. So, you know, he still counterbalances Justin.
He can still see to play a scene well enough to play games?
Yeah, he's wearing corrective lenses.
Broadway's going to hate me for that one.
But I've noticed he's been playing Fortnite. I see a lot of people on Snap showing their Fortnite. But I have no idea what the game is. The last game that I've played was really...
Pac-Man? Sorry, Pac-Man. I'm on a roll tonight.
Pac-Man. Got your Pac-Man.
No, Clash of Clans?
It was actually Pong.
Pong. Oh, okay, there you go.
I still play Clash of Clans on my smartphone.
Does anybody actually still play that game?
People attack me all the time. The people in my squad, nobody plays. I mean, I haven't played that over a year.
I spent so much money in that game. It's not even funny.
Well, and I did too. And I think that's why I don't want to give it up.
You did not spend anywhere near how much I spent. How much did you spend on Clash of Clans?
Probably about 150.
That's cute. I think I probably, over the course of like 3 years, I think I dropped close to $900.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And now you don't even play it.
I don't even play it.
Now, do you have it on your phone? Do you have it on your... No?
No, no. I got rid of it completely. I just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's so addicting, though. When you're in it, you're in it. And that's the way games have evolved these past, you know, decade, is microtransactions. You're like, oh, 99 cents here, $100 there. Not a big deal, you know. But, you know, after a while, you start to realize, oh, my God, I've spent so much money on this and I have nothing to show for it except for level 7 wizard towers.
Yeah, when you give your kid your smartphone or your tablet.
Oh, God, you need a password protect that.
Yeah, because they may think, oh, it's no big deal. Because that's the thing. They may give you a game for free. That's fun.
Yeah, they don't understand purchasing.
Yeah, in-game purchases is what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you understand how much money these game companies make.
At one point, Supercell, the company that makes Clash of Clans, they were showing to make, gosh, I don't want to say this too wrong, but I'm going to give a ballpark here. But they were making upwards of $10 million a day.
Amazing. Amazing. One of the game companies, and I don't remember the name of the game, but they had a game and you could play it, and they had a set period. And if you were the victor, the champion, you won $1 million. I mean,
wow.
Game companies that could give $1 million, it's pretty amazing.
Sure. Yeah. Esports in general have just taken off. I mean, esports is basically people that are playing video games, but they're in these tournaments for real money. These companies sponsor these tournaments. League of Legends, Defense of the Ancients, otherwise known as Dota, Counter-Strike. Those are some of the games. PUBG, another big game right now, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. These are major, major tournaments that are sponsored by real companies such as NVIDIA, AMD, Intel.
SteelSeries. Logitech, I know, sponsors them as well.
Logitech, Razer. You know, these companies, they sponsor these things and they have these huge tournaments and these people compete for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And so when a kid tells you, I want to be a professional gamer,
I would say go for it.
Yeah. If they're good.
Good at it.
Look at Vitality. We met Vitality at CES. He's made tons of money in this industry.
I mean, I don't think he's really active anymore with the games, but he's more of like an ambassador. You know,
for hardware companies.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. But
Smart guy.
Hey, but he's still making a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I mentioned PUBG and during pre-show you were asking about PUBG. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is got to be probably the most popular game on the market right now. And it kind of gave birth to a whole new genre of gaming, which is known as Battle Royale.
All right. And what is that all about?
Well, it's kind of like the Hunger Games. You've ever seen the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
A bunch of people go in to compete against each other to the death, and the winner survives. That's kind of what PUBG is. So, again, PUBG stands for Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. It started as a mod to, I can't remember which game.
Was it Counter-Strike?
It might have been, no, it wasn't Counter-Strike. It might have been Arma? Or maybe, I don't know. Anyway, but it started as a mod where this guy named, who online is known by Player Unknown.
Right.
He created this thing called Battlegrounds. And so what it is, it's 100 people that get dropped into a map, and you get dropped in off of a C-130 airship, and you parachute, and you can jump out at any time, so you can be dispersed across this huge map. I mean, enormous map.
Right.
And you can pick your place where you want to land, and you land, and immediately you have no weapons, nothing, no armor, no clothes, no weapons. You run around and you gather up all your gear, first aid kits, weapons, ammo, armor. Everything you can do, and then it's kill or be killed.
It sounds like fun. Now, does it cost to play in the game?
No, not at all. No. And here's the thing: let me just wrap up the whole thing. So, as you're playing, there's this circle that they call, and the circle continuously gets smaller and smaller. So it forces the players to have to concentrate towards a certain area of the map.
Oh, wow.
So that way you can't just be all sitting across the map just waiting for everybody to come to you, because it's never going to happen. So it will force people to come. So each game probably only lasts about a half an hour at the most. So you can keep playing over and over and over. But again, you get shot, you die, that's it. Game over. No respawns.
Right.
Nothing. You're dead.
And now, what about in-game purchases? Can you do that to buy more weapons?
You can now. They've released... they released a new way of doing it where you can do, I wouldn't call it microtransactions. I mean, they're like $5.99 or $10.99, but it gets you tokens that will unlock chests. And these chests will have a random selection of things like new clothes for your character to wear, or maybe a skin for a weapon, which what that means is it makes the weapon look different. It doesn't make it act different. It just makes it look different. Think a golden gun or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's all cosmetic. But to reach, you know, in the game itself, I mean, it's the most streamed game on Twitch right now. A couple of the top streamers in the world are playing that. Dr. Disrespect is one of them. This guy has, on average, 80,000 viewers every time he goes live.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. He's a real character. He's a real character. He is amazing. Look up Dr. Disrespect. He's on Twitch. He's amazing. He has Hollywood quality production to his streams.
Right.
The guy that I personally like a lot, and I did reach out to him to see if he would like to be interviewed, and he did decline. He said, you know, I'm not doing it right now, but Stone Mountain 64, want to give him a shout out
week. Yeah.
Just in case he's listening. He plays PUBG and he also plays Fortnite, which is what you were talking about.
Yeah, I want to find out a little bit about
that. So Fortnite is PUBG. It's again, it's a battle royale.
Okay.
100 versus 1 or 1 versus 100, whatever. But the difference in PUBG and Fortnite is that Fortnite is more of a cartoonish type of look to it. It kind of feels more of a cartoon. It's not looking realistic.
Is it
kind of
like a Team Fortress?
It is. It's exactly like Team Fortress in the look and feel of it. But it's still Battle Royale. You still are one person survives. Again, you can also play in squads. So as long as your squad survives, then you also win too. So it could be, you know, squads versus squads. But again, it's the same concept. It's one team or one person survives. But the big difference between PUBG and Fortnite is in Fortnite, you can build. So you collect resources like brick, mortar, wood, metal, and you can build buildings. You can build towers. You can build sniping towers. Obviously, they can all be destroyed by other players, but it gives you that advantage. When you're trying to get the jump on somebody, you can build up a set of stairs, get up higher than them, so you've got the high ground, and you know, and pump them full of hot lead.
So it kind of sounds a little like, and forgive me for even drawing this comparison, Clash of Clans, or when you're building things to protect, but this, you're actually in the game.
You're
where
in
Clash
the game.
Of Clans, you're above it, you know,
yeah, you're playing
down
God or something in Clash of Clans. But no, this game, you are the person that's playing it. You are the soldier, if you will. Fortnite is free. I believe PUBG is free. Maybe it's like $20 for PUBG, but Fortnite is definitely free.
Now, where do you play though? On what kind of servers do you find? Is this something you find on? You go to a certain site or something?
No, you just open the game and all the games are listed right there. You don't even have to pick a server. Like, long gone are the days of having to search through hundreds of servers to pick which one you want. All you have to do in PUBG or in Fortnite is just click start matchmaking. It will find the best match for you based on your location, based on your ping times, everything, and then it just joins you to the game.
All right, not to get all serious on this, but is this something parents that have kids that are the age of, say, 12 or 13 that are playing this, should they be concerned, I mean, with people in the game? I mean, should they keep an eye on what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because both games do offer in-game voice chat. I think that's the biggest thing to be aware of as a parent. Because you've got a lot of people in there that are older that are going to be using profane language.
Right.
So, you know, I would definitely keep an eye on what your kids are doing. I think this is a game for, you know,
18 plus.
On the safe side, sure. But I'd say more like 16, 15 or 16.
Right.
I mean, honestly, let's be honest. By the age of 15 or 16, you already know all the curse words.
Yeah.
You know, you know that. I mean, so I would say 15 or 16, 12 and 13. I play with kids on there that are 12 and 13 all the time. And I'm like, oh, got to watch my mouth. You know,
remember,
got to put on my radio voice.
He was a sailor.
I was a sailor. Trust me, I can be pretty nasty.
All right. So it sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, compared to the last game I played, which was not Pac-Man, Rainbow Six, which I loved. I did enjoy that. I think that was last year I was playing that one. I'm a different kind of gamer now as I've gotten older. There we go. I've gone from, you know, Battlefield, Call of Duty into, I want a good flight sim. I want to, you know, I have fun with the casino games, but I just don't have time to sit down and play them.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated there is no good flight sims. We've talked about this before.
What was the new one that just came out? I mean, well, X Flight, I believe X Flight is the is the only flight sim really that's continuously updated.
Right.
I mean, Microsoft Flight Simulator, they went away. They lost their funding. They stopped making it.
What a shame, too, because they could have done so much with that.
I know, but there just wasn't a huge following for that. I mean, there used to be. But
they get rid of Flight Sim and they have Train Simulator out.
The Train Simulator is not made by, you know, a funny story, a side story about that, but Flight or Train Simulator is not made by Microsoft. Here's a funny anecdote. Do you know, probably already you know the answer because we're talking about it. Do you know what the most expensive game in the history of all games is?
As far as purchasing or to create?
Purchasing. Yeah, purchasing.
Oh, purchasing. I want to say Battlefield.
we just talked about it. It's Train Simulator.
Is it really?
Yeah. Let me look this. Let me Google this here.
All right.
Total cost. You'll be amazed at this. Let's see here. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So to buy the game Train Simulator and all of the add-ons, because they release new engines, you know, like new locomotives, new skins, new maps, all that stuff.
Right.
You would have to spend. Drum roll, please.
All right. Ready.
$2,837.69.
To play a train simulator.
Yeah. It's the most expensive game of all time.
Amazing. And, you know, I think Microsoft could have done that with Flight Simulator. I mean, they did add-ons of planes and stuff.
They did. It's a shame they got rid of it.
Yeah, you could find them for free.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of fun. I don't know. I have fun with games, and I know that we have listeners that do like to play games. Now, these, like PUBG and Fortnite, are PC-based.
PC. Are they? PUBG just recently got released to Xbox.
Oh, nice.
However, it's kind of considered developer mode right now, because there's a lot of bugs on the Xbox. Because, again, it's a completely different interface, completely different programming they have to do. But it is coming along on there, and I believe that it will be released for the PlayStation 4 as well. But, yes, Fortnite and PUBG are primarily played on PC. And, again, just to let you know, if you want, I would highly suggest you go to YouTube.
Right.
Type in Stone Mountain 64 into YouTube and just watch a few of his videos.
Yeah.
He's an amazing streamer. He always plays the part of actually like a military captain. He puts on like a filter onto his voice chat, so it makes him sound like he's coming across on a radio. And he's just like,
this is Stone Mountain 64, your commanding officer, over.
You know, he'll do that kind of stuff, and people are just like,
they have fun with it.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah.
You know, but they'll play along. And some people recognize him. They're like, oh my God, this is Stone Mountain. We're playing with Stone Mountain, you know? And
so that's pretty cool.
He's a pretty famous guy.
What is probably the most popular game right now then? Would it be PUBG or Fortnite?
PUBG, totally.
PUBG?
PUBG, without a doubt.
Cool.
Without a doubt.
Now, do a lot of people, you know, stream their games on Twitch? Because honestly, if anybody's thinking about playing, and I've told people this, if you're thinking about playing a game, look for it on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I don't want to watch somebody play a game. I said, no, you're going to learn the ins and outs of the game.
Yes, exactly. You're not just watching somebody play. You're learning how to play. And that's how, honestly, I figured out how to play PUBG was I started watching YouTube videos. I started watching Stone Mountain play it. And I'm like, what game is this? And then I'd watch how he would do it. And I'm like, oh, that's what I got to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I kind of wonder if Candy Crush is still making money.
Candy Crush is. Just this morning, I was listening to the news this morning.
Right?
It said that all over the world, people that are playing like Candy Crush on their mobile devices are costing companies over $100 billion
in data.
Lost revenue. No, in lost revenue.
Really?
Because they're doing it during work. They're not. They're not being productive. They're sitting on their phones playing Candy Crush.
Now, see, all I do is on the slot machine when I play.
Yeah.
You can throughout the day you can collect your coins.
Yeah,
and you collect them, and it you know it pitches you. Do you want to buy some coins? You want to buy some coins?
Yeah.
No, just give
only
me my free
99 cents.
Come on, guy. Everybody's doing it. You gotta be careful of that. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of games too, all right, so now we know a little bit about what Fortnite is all about and PUBG, so we're gonna have to check those out. There was a story that was up on Google and we talked about it last week and the week before when you were flying off to, or coming back from Japan, the Switch. And they're saying, this has like been the holy grail for Nintendo. It's about time. And now really they're going to be going full forward in 2018, really pushing some of the content.
Yeah. I mean, Nintendo, it's really, they're putting all of their eggs into this basket. I mean, this is kind of like their last hurrah, and they really did it well this time. I think, they are dedicating a lot of their resources to this. They're going to be releasing, Metroid Prime 4 for the Switch. They're going to come out with a Super Smash Brothers, which is an insanely popular game. They've already come out with Zelda Breath of the Wild, which honestly I think is probably one of the best games of all time. I mean, it is a massive game. I'm hooked on it. It's a great game. It's not hard to learn. They got the new Mario Odyssey, which is a great family game. And the best part about the Switch is that the fact that you can just pick it up and go and take it with you and play it as a mobile device. And then take it home and put it into the dock and play it on your TV. So,
and that's, this is the benefit too, is a lot of those that are over the age of 30 they want that mobile device. That's, you know, most of us are going to play on the mobile platform with our phones or our you know, our iPads or tablets. With the Switch, you have that feel like you are playing with that. So then if you decide, hey, I want to go ahead and plug it in, you can do it and play on your big screen TV.
Yep.
Which is, that's big. They say that they sold over 13 million consoles in less than a year. And their goal is they would like everybody to own a Switch.
Yeah.
Every family to own a Switch. Which, you know, a family with kids, that's not going to be difficult.
Yeah. Honestly, if you're thinking about buying a new console or something, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, they're very well established. Obviously, Nintendo was around before either of them.
Right.
But I really honestly think you should take a look at the Switch. The games are quality games. There's not a lot of them, but they're quality.
Here's one of the other things, too, that is very smart with Nintendo. And, you know, I'm still angry at Nintendo. I really am. Because because of the way that they put out those consoles, playing the older games, they put out just a few here and a few here. I think they should have blanketed the market. However,
they created artificial demand.
They sure did. But it also didn't tap into their Switch platform for people going out and buying it during the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get in the Nintendo the special NES edition, or maybe you can get it later, Dad, but for your kid, get the Switch.
Yeah.
But the thing they have going for it, when you bring home a console for the family during the holidays, you bring home one Xbox S or one or whatever. Same with the PlayStation. You bring one PlayStation 4 home. Mm-hmm. I could see where PlayStation was going when they put out the Vita. Remember that? You had
one. Oh, yeah. Yep.
But this is one of those devices you can take it now and make a multi-Switch household by having, you know, each kid have their own Switch device.
Sure.
So you're selling more consoles, even though they're a little cheaper, I think, than the PS4.
Yeah, a little bit, not much.
But you're selling more than one, because trying to get your kids to share anything, forget it.
Yeah, no.
It's
not going to happen. No, but the thing about this is also interesting. I've been watching this videos on YouTube. It's by a guy, gaming historian.
All right.
And he was talking about the top mistakes that Nintendo made in their entire history of being a console developer and gaming developer. And one of the top mistakes they made was that they did not partner with Sony. One point, Sony actually approached Nintendo and said, we want to make a new console with you and partner with it. And we want it to be CD based, but it's going to be an add-on to the Nintendo 64, I believe it was. Yeah, Nintendo 64. It was an add-on to that. And they called it the PlayStation. Two words.
Okay.
And that was agreed upon by Nintendo. Nintendo was going to create, with Sony, the PlayStation, the Nintendo PlayStation. But at the last minute, I guess Nintendo got nervous for some reason. I don't know why. They decided to partner with Philips to make the CDI instead.
Ah, yes.
And Sony said, well, screw you guys. I mean, we went ahead and spent all this money and all this development to make this add-on for Nintendo. Fine. We're just going to make our own system, and we're going to call it the PlayStation. One word.
Right.
And they came out with the PlayStation. And now look at the PlayStation. Probably, arguably, the number one console in the world.
Although the Switch looks like it could be catching up.
Oh, the Switch is definitely catching back up, but it's got massive... I mean, it's got decades of catching up to do.
Really. I still have my Wii.
Yeah. Wii was a good console.
The Wii was great for
the Wii U,
everybody.
The successor, the Wii U, was not.
No. No, but the Wii was cool, because I remember when we first got the Wii in, Nintendo sent us one. And I went into... on the television segment, we were showing it, and they were pulling clips because people were taking them to senior centers.
Oh, yeah.
And people were bowling. I mean, it was great. It was great fun. That's the whole point. If you can make it a community, family, you know, type of product like that, I think you may have a winner. And that might be what Switch is kind of carrying in, you know, carrying on.
Nintendo, they are this. With the Switch, they are trying to somewhat carry on the legacy of the Wii, because the controllers of the Switch are removable. And they have a strap that you can attach to it, so you can put it on your wrist and you can use it as a motion controller, just like you could on the Wii.
Right.
But at the same time, they're also trying to tap into their popularity of the 3DS, which was their handheld system, the successor to the Game Boy. I think I read somewhere going forward, they're not going to really develop any more of the 3DSs anymore. They are literally going to concentrate everything on the Switch because the Switch is the best of both worlds. It's a console and a handheld in one.
Now, if our listeners want to try them out, is that easy to do? Can they go into a GameStop or a Best Buy and will they let them like get their hands on?
I don't know about a Best Buy, but I think you could probably go into a GameStop and try it. I don't know. I don't really know any GameStops anymore. I mean, they're kind of going the way of Blockbuster, really. Yeah.
Well, try and do that. Definitely take a look at some
YouTube. Even think you need to try. Honestly, I'm going to make a call right here. I don't think you need to try it. Just go out and buy one.
And you'll be happy.
It's worth it.
Does it come with a game like right off the bat?
No. You got it. You're going to have to buy a game. I would highly suggest either Mario Odyssey or Zelda Breath of the Wild. I think those are by far the best two games out there.
All right. Good recommendation. We can take a break. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemon. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I like when you call up and the first thing you hear is, please listen carefully as our menu options have changed. If your customers are memorizing your menu options, fix your product.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, where we hang out all the time. It's facebook.com/techtalkers.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know about that. There's been data about Facebook. That's got to be kind of scary for Facebook.
It is kind of scary for Facebook. And I was reading about this and I'm like, oh my God, I'm old. Because they were literally saying that that Facebook now, I mean, first off, Facebook is losing a lot of users.
28 million users under the age of, I believe it's 25.
Yeah.
That's a lot of users.
Yeah. But also they were also mentioning that most of the younger people nowadays are saying that, oh, Facebook, oh, that's for my parents. Like, isn't that's where my parents use Facebook. I don't use I use Snapchat and I don't know, whatever.
Well, think about it. Think about it.
Tinder.
Tinder. I don't want my kids using Tinder. Think about the cycle, though. You know, MySpace, that was around. And then, you know, the kids were kind of using
MySpace.
I remember
back in my day, we used MySpace.
Right. And then the adults started getting on MySpace.
Of course. And then it got not cool anymore.
And then you had this thing called Friendbook and then Facebook that came along. Or was it Friendster?
Friendster.
Yeah. And then Facebook came along and they all migrated to Facebook. And the next thing you know, all the parents started moving to Facebook.
Now all the kids are moving to Snapchat. But then all the parents now, like you're a Snapchatter.
I love Snapchat. Well,
see, you just completely ruined Snapchat for everybody.
No, you know, it's kind of cool.
No, because you're older. You're not allowed to be on Snapchat anymore.
It is a little embarrassing sometimes when I do see some of the stuff that gets posted. And I just go, oh, come on, don't be doing that, you know?
I do got to say, though, Snapchat, I don't use Snapchat hardly ever, but if I do use it, it's hilarious when you put all the filters on it. Like, earlier today, I did a face swap with me and my son. Probably one of the most creepiest pictures I've ever seen in my life, because he was crying when I was holding him.
Right.
So it looked at, like, my face was, like, crying, but it was, like, a really weird baby-looking face, and then he was sitting there smiling.
With a beard.
It was really creepy. But Snapchat's filters, and then they have the augmented reality filters, too, where you can be, like, use your front-facing camera, not the one that faces at you, but the front-facing one, and you can put, like, an image of something on, like, a countertop or whatever, and that's really cool. I like that about Snapchat.
There's so many cool features about it, but I think a lot of adults, you know, a lot of adults are still trying to figure out Facebook. They're trying to figure out how do you use Facebook.
They're still
Facebook.
Trying to figure out how to log on to Windows.
But they're trying to figure out Facebook to get the inner workings of it. But there's nowhere really they can go to say, is there a book? I mean, sure, there's books out there.
Oh, I'm sure there's a Snapchat for dummies.
Yeah. How do you get the most out of Snapchat? Well, number one, it's having a base of friends. Now, your base of friends should not be your grandkids. I mean, my grandkids, my grandkids are connected to me on Snap. And
they hide their posts from you. You know that, right?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah. They're like, let's send this to everybody but granddad.
But, you know, that's what it's all about. Now, the thing is, with Facebook losing it, I think over the last month, we have seen Facebook really having a tough time. Number one, with this data that has been released, with a lot of them leaving, but they've been tweaking with the feed, and now we're kind of seeing just the same people showing up.
Yeah,
on our feed.
You know, I did notice that, and here's my problem with I don't even want to say it's a problem, but okay, so we talked about Crypto Coin Trader, the group on Facebook. We interviewed Joe Blackburn a few weeks ago. He's the creator of the group called Crypto Coin Trader. It's all about cryptology and cryptocurrency. It's got over 60,000 members.
Yeah.
Well, when I joined it, I noticed that my entire news feed was just Crypto Coin Trader all the time.
Yeah.
When I would scroll through Facebook, it was one post after another. And I got to the point where I had to unfollow the group because I just was not seeing anything from anybody else. But the moment Facebook redid their algorithm, now I hardly see anything from Crypto Coin Trader.
Yeah, the groups are having a tough time.
Yeah, groups are really having a tough time. It's almost like they went a little bit too far.
Yeah, and we have a group, Tech Talkers, and we post stuff on there. Yeah. And I'll find more of the redirects that people that click through and go to our website, not coming from the groups anymore. They're coming from the individual page, and those are the same friends. I want other people that don't know about us to see it.
Yeah,
you know, it's from Facebook. For the businesses, Facebook for the groups has made it really difficult because we've kind of had a free ride for a while.
Yeah,
you know, sure. I have in the past paid to have stuff boosted. You know, say, hey, I want you to see this post. I want to make sure this goes out to everybody that's in this age range, that's on this platform.
Yeah,
how to's, etc. But now, you know, like I said, maybe I had a free ride. Maybe it is, you know, as a business. It does make sense because people are, you know, there are marketing groups that use strictly Facebook. And I mean, that's what they do to get the word out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, but that's kind of the way Facebook's going.
At the same time they do something, Snapchat comes along and Snapchat changes their feed, their way. So if you're thinking about getting into Snapchat now, you know, go ahead and get into it because you'll be in when everything's been changed. Mm-hmm. Because before it used to be very easy to distinguish what was somebody sending you a direct snap. Mm-hmm. You know, like I wanted to send you a goofy picture or send you a photo of a board that I wanted to buy or of some tech gadget. You could distinguish that's me sending that to you versus a public post. And that's been a little difficult. And I don't think you look at Snapchat enough to have noticed that. Some people haven't even seen the change yet. Now, they have recommended for people that are on it and don't like it that they can go back by not doing the update. But going back to not doing the update requires you to basically refresh your entire Snapchat memories and everything. And what some people have done is gone ahead and done the steps, but forgot that big step of backing up memories. Because with Snapchat, you take a picture and save it in memories. You know, take a picture, save it in memories of stuff that you take.
But when you, with Snapchat, when you take screenshots or pictures of somebody's snap, it sends them an alert saying, hey, somebody, because that's the whole idea of Snapchat is everything is like temporary. You know,
it just goes out and that's it.
Yeah, but if you take a snap of it or you take a snapshot of a snap,
It
lets them know that, hey, somebody copied this and saved it.
Instagram's going to be adding the new that same feature soon.
Sure.
Which is kind of a drag. Because I don't capture somebody's picture unless they say, you know, or I might ask them, hey, I like that. Can I have that?
Yeah.
You know, can I cap it? But I don't do it because it's kind of creepy, you know? No matter what it is, because that's what it's set up to be, a temporary type of thing.
Sure.
You know, somebody posted, there's a car that I want to buy, and there's a group that I found on Snapchat that's all about that. Same thing. Now, in Instagram, they have a lot of groups, and it'll be the same thing. You're going to snap it, or you're going to capture it. They're going to know, oh, they captured the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
You're like, well, why did they do that?
Yeah, yeah. Selma Hayek's going to know I'm capturing all her pictures.
I'm sure she probably has plenty of people that do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But either way, they have changed it. There's probably more changes going to be coming to social media. Do you see anything on the horizon as far as new social media? I mean, that's the thing. I don't. These seem to be the big players.
I don't know. I don't really see anything that's coming up in the future. I think Snapchat really is going to take off more than it even has. More and more people are using it, but I don't know of anything new on the horizon. No,
scary though, because it's not making money.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of making money, what was it? Just this last quarter, Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter just announced that they finally, after all these years, finally made their first profit. Twitter,
after 12
if you
years,
don't know this, yeah. After, how many years?
12 years.
12 years, yeah. If you don't know, Twitter has never made a profit until last quarter.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
And, you know, again, a free ride because a lot of people use that for business.
Sure.
A lot of people use it for business. And, you know, they want to tweet out. They want to, you know, send a group. Having a website didn't seem like it was as important. However, I kind of think it still should be the backbone for everything if you have a business.
Yeah, I mean, websites really kind of, yeah, you're right. I mean, websites don't mean as much as they used to anymore.
Well, but, you know, I heard a guy the other day on the radio. One of those guys that, you know, sells, insurance or something like that. I think it was health insurance or life insurance. And I heard him and they were interviewing him. They asked him, they said, you know, what's your website? And he said, well, I don't have a website. I've got a Facebook page. And I'm thinking, you know, you make it easy, give a website.
Yeah, you kind of have to. Yeah. But it's the basis.
And as soon as he gave his phone number out, I put it in my phone. Got to call that guy about doing his website.
You know, another thing that I found was funny is sometimes there's ads for certain businesses here in Denver.
Yeah.
And they're car dealerships.
Don't even get me started about car dealerships.
Yeah, but it's funny because when they announce their website, it immediately I honestly go back to thinking about the days of GeoCity.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
Because and I'm not saying I look at their website. I'm just saying the way they announce it because you know, you think about websites like our websites, techtalkradio.com. Easy,
simple.
Easy right. enough, right?
Right?
These websites are like, here's the thing. I'm not going to call them out, okay? So I'm going to use our website as an example of how they do theirs. tech-talk-radio.com. Like, I'm thinking, like, when I hear that, I'm thinking tech-talk-radio.geocities.us.co.jp. Like, seriously, people? Like, it's 2018. Why are you still using dashes in your name of your website? Like, really?
Just make it more difficult for everybody.
Yeah, I know. It's like every time I hear that, I laugh because I think about GeoCities.
Can I? I'm gonna share
Alta Vista.
Alta Vista or GTE. The very first Tech Talk Radio was actually at gte.net/TechTalk. And then we found.
That was before you could have your own domain name.
Yes, before we got our own domain, but it was pretty quick. We decided on that one pretty quick because it just seemed to make sense. And then, of course, then you have to lock them all up. And for a short time, there is some guys that used to do a Tech Talk radio show in Australia. And the crazy thing is...
Oh, I remember you told me about this.
Yeah, these guys, techtalkradio.com.au. And I was livid.
Yeah, I was livid
because I thought, well, you know, when it came to it, it came just as the time as we were, I was making the move to move out here from Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. So things fell outside. They got techtalkradio.mobi, M-O-B-I, which nobody needs anymore.
Yeah, no.
And that was frustrating. So it came to a point that as soon as they let Mobi go, I had to buy it.
Yeah.
I had to get it. Well, and now from what I understand, and they were good people. I actually talked to them once. They've pretty much abandoned doing the show. But the crazy thing is, if you go to
iTunes. We should have them on the show. That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool? Get them on. but the crazy thing is if you go to iTunes and do a search for Tech Talk Radio, everybody can do this right now. They show up first.
Really?
We were there before them. We stopped doing iTunes. They got, so it's their little blue radio logo. There's, and this is what I don't understand. Their shows have not been updated since 2012.
Oh, gosh.
We do shows. We've been doing shows the last 3 years. So that's why I need to ask everybody that's listening that if you go to iTunes at all, that you go and give us a star or two or three or four. If you hate the show, if you like the show, if we provide any kind of comfort, maybe this is the show on Saturdays you like to nap to. We're like the Golf Channel.
That's only when you're talking. When I'm talking, people are like partying.
Please go to iTunes, look for Tech Talk Radio, look for the round logo with the you know, the microphone, and give us a like if you would. That would
absolutely
be cool.
No, I appreciate it. And the same thing with Google Play.
Yes.
You know, we're on Google Play. What is it on Google Play though? It's not just Tech Talk Radio, it's something like
Tech Talk Radio show, isn't
network.
It?
I thought you said network.
Maybe it's network. I'll put the link on the front page.
You always give so much attention to Apple, but you don't even care about Google. You know Android has bigger market share than Apple. They do, right?
All right, I'm going to have to fix that.
You have to fix
that. I will take care of that.
You better do that tomorrow.
We come back. We've got a website of the week. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Don't forget, find us on Twitter as well, at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Step right up. Teach an old Italian lady how to use an iPad.
Now, that sounds like fun. I'll give it a try. Hey, how are you? Look what I got for you.
What is it?
It's a tablet computer.
I don't want it.
But you don't even know what it is.
I don't want it.
But you can watch movies on it.
My eyes hurt.
I'm trying to do something nice here.
For the last time, I don't want it.
I bet you if Joey was giving it to you, you'd take it.
Don't you bring him into this. Joey was a good boy.
Oh, yeah. Joey was a good boy. You thought he was making $100,000 a year hauling lumber?
Don't you start with this.
He was dirty, Ma.
I can't hear this. I won't hear it. He was an angel.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor, and we are back. Earlier this week, Justin, I got a chance to talk with Andy Markin, who is at the Sundance Film Festival.
Okay.
And lots of movies were shown at Sundance that we don't even know about. Movies that are going to come down the line, we're like, wow, I didn't know they made this movie. Got a chance to find out some of the big deals that were going to be coming out from Hollywood, but what are the problems that the film industry is facing? We'll find out with Andy Markin. Andy, thanks for coming back on Tech Talk Radio.
You know, it's always a pleasure to talk with you guys.
The Sundance Film Festival, this is one, I believe, that was started by, what, Robert Redford?
Robert Redford started it, yeah, about 10 years ago.
Why are we seeing festivals, number one, attracting technology, but also having a major influence on where our technology goes?
Because the devices are really nice, but there is nothing without content. It doesn't matter whether it's audio, video, or just plain data. It's the content that drives how that technology is going to be used, how it's going to be embraced by the consumer.
Andy, with so many sources out there now for needing content, Hulu, Netflix, and so many other channels that are all over the web, is it creating a kind of a middle ground when it comes to the needs for content?
We're in kind of a, not a middle ground, more of a seismic shakeup here, because you know, television is losing its grip on the consumer because you're right. YouTube, Facebook, you name it, have said, okay, we're going to deliver you content when you want it, where you want it, on the device you want it. And, you know, so many people are cutting or, you know, shaving their network offering because they don't really want to wait until 7 o'clock to watch the news, if you will.
Yeah,
they may have to wait till 8 o'clock, and you know that's okay.
Well, true, but in terms of content, how is, like, say, YouTube working from transitioning itself from personal videos or cat videos into something that is going to drive viewers to YouTube channels?
So they're going to all of the content producers and say, "Hey, put it up here. We'll advertise it for you. You know, you'll get money out of it." Or, gee, CBS, why don't you come on and we'll charge people X dollars a month and they can watch all of the CBS or HBO content they can consume in a day. And so that's driving it. Obviously, Netflix, Hulu are big players.
Yeah.
They've got deep pockets. They're going out looking for content. Where do they go? They go to the Sundances of the world and say, hey, you know, here's the content. I like what you're doing. I'll buy it. I want worldwide rights, which is becoming an issue because people don't want to give up worldwide rights. And, you know, they're putting down, you know, hard money for that content to, you know, sell to the consumer.
Well, really, who are the big players now when it comes to subscription, on-demand viewing of content? I mean, I tend to watch Amazon, I think, more than anything else right now. But if you were to say these are the ones, these are the big players, who would it be?
It's right now, it's Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix are the big players, but there are dozens of them. And every, you know, HBO is trying to hang on to their part and position. It's interesting because, you know, yes, it's an opportunity for the producer, the person who is producing that content, But then they forget the back end, that they've got to also market it, you know, and get in front of eyes to say, hey, this is a show you should watch. If Netflix buys for $5 million your show, there's no insurance that you're going to get anything more than that $5
million. Yeah.
If you go to Amazon and you say, you know, yeah, we'll put you up. Well, that's just kind of the beginning. You know, yes, you made the space, but now you have to track the eyeballs.
Yeah.
And so it's a real challenge.
But the problem is there's so much content now. Andy, it's mind-boggling when you... Isn't it crazy?
Well, if you look at, you know, just YouTube, you know, as an example, people are putting up over 600 hours a minute.
Wow.
On YouTube. You can't look at you can't figure out which one you're going to see. I mean, we're drowning in a sea of content right now. And
yeah.
So it's really hard unless you get somebody who's totally committed to marketing, you know, your video, where it's going to be.
Your latest content, Insider Fresh Start, the title of it, talks about not only is really, I mean, the content obviously is there. People are creating this stuff, but it seems to be distribution. And being somebody that worked in the film industry for a little while, kind of understand the distribution. But again, that's the whole part of, you know, how do we get this out? How do we market it? You know, what are some things that they're going to do differently? And are they going to be utilizing the technology of the web to make this happen?
This year's show, not as many people opened up their checkbooks as they did 2 years ago or even last year. It was pretty slim picking. You know, from their side, they look and say, oh, this isn't a really commercially viable product, meaning piece of content. And yet, you know, there's a whole segment of the marketplace that says, yeah, I really like that show, you know? I like the idea of got some fathers doing a search on it online, and all I see is him on a screen, which is the show is called Search.
Yeah,
really a daring piece of work, and it was all done from the idea of looking at the person through the screen and figuring out how to figure out this whole social media world, and it was spooky, fun, and different. But you don't have those every day. The big you know, area I thought was really good was obviously VR. And again, you talk about technology, you know, the idea of having a hood on your face walking around is, you know, it didn't work for Google Glasses, and it's been slow to take off for, you know,
for
the VR lenses.
Yeah.
And that's just because there's no content.
True.
And they're just now is becoming content, and people say, hey, I really want to play that game. I really want to watch that movie, or I want to participate in that movie. And, you know, now it's getting a little bit of traction. But again, it's shaking up the whole theater industry because you got a theater of people sitting around, everybody with an Oculus on. No, it's a different type of theater that we're going to see. It's going to be very interesting to see how it shakes out.
I don't know if the older generation will accept and maybe go with this idea of VR. I'm kind of hoping that we could, but I think maybe this is something we're going to see maybe in the next 5 years, maybe 10 years. Do you have any prediction on that?
The key is if I just come to you and say, Andy, here, put this on and watch this movie, or participate in this movie is the correct word. And you say, yeah, I don't want to. I look stupid with a pair of goggles on.
Right.
Then you put them on. And all of a sudden, the first one I saw that really was great was Martian. And all of a sudden, I have to move solar panels around. I have to watch this storm coming in. I can feel all of this stuff happening to me. And you go, dang, that was really fun.
Yeah.
Or that was scary as heck. The one Spears that was just at Sundance, you're actually out in the middle of space. You know, you're exploring all of these things, and you can, you know, move and quote, touch. You can feel it looking at you and you looking at it. And it's a totally different thing that until somebody says, here, you try it, do you understand what VR really is?
Yeah, the downside, I think, is for anybody that maybe tried VR when it first came out, when, again, the content was very minimal, to what maybe they can experience today, it's a matter of them saying, all right, let me take a look. Let me see what it is.
The early stuff, and it's like the early games, and a friend of mine runs a game site, and he says all it was somebody taking their content and kind of, quote, creating a thing that you could walk through, but they didn't really understand how to execute it. So the games were bland.
Yeah.
You know, the video you saw was worse than 3D, the first 3D.
Yeah.
It was pathetic. Nausea, there was poor way of moving around the room. All of the things that could possibly go wrong were wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to say, hey, give it a try. What the heck? You know, you do it one more time, a couple more times, and every time you see it improves.
I'm kind of wondering, do you think at some point we might see movie theaters tend to kind of go away and this will be more of the experience? We see the technology in our home. We see the high-speed internet. We see the 4K, the 8K televisions, the Samsung wall. Are we going to eventually see a time where maybe theaters are not as big a player, if anything, when it comes to our entertainment?
The cinema industry is already changing. The distributors, whether it's Warner, Disney, Fox, are saying, hey, I'm not going to hold off showing my film to the end user for 3 months. You may have a week, and they're trying to say same time delivery. So
yeah,
there's always going to be a group of people that say, I want to have a social thing. So I'm going to go to the theater with my significant other or four other people. There are going to be people that want to sit around in their underwear and watch the same movie.
Right.
Whenever they want, type of thing. So the whole theater industry is, the movie industry is changing from the theater type aspect. I don't know if you've gone to a movie today in some of the more upgraded AMC theaters, but I mean, they're luxury suites.
Oh, yeah.
That you're sitting at, you know.
You pay a little premium.
You know, so they're doing.
Yeah, you got to pay the premium, but you know what? People will say, I'd like to be pampered. I'd like to have a reclining chair.
You know, I want to be pampered. I want to know I'm going to have my seat when I want. I can have my drink, my whatever, and I can, you know, sit there with my partner, and we can exchange on this movie. There are people that want to do that.
Do you watch? I have to ask you. Do you watch Silicon Valley? Do you see the show?
It's no.
If you get a chance, it's...
I live it. Hard. I don't need to watch it.
Perfect. Well, Andy, as always, thanks for coming on the show with us. And we look forward to talking to you again really soon.
You got it.
We come back. We've got a website of the week. Justin sent it to me at like 12:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, what is this guy doing? He said, all it says is website of the week. And I'm like...
And then I give you the link and I say, go back to bed. Sorry.
We'll share that when we come back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this Red State Update. My name is Jackie Brown.
I'm Dunlap, and you are listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Computers.
Oh, yeah.
Tech.
I don't know what a computer does.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. You'll find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. And don't forget, give us a like on iTunes, please.
Aren't we on Instagram too? At Tech Talk Radio, right?
Yeah, at Tech Talk Radio. There's a lot of like different things we post on there, though. It's not just tech.
Yeah, sure.
You know, no. I put my car engine on there. Which
Why would you do that?
Well, when they took the engine out of the car, I wanted to show what I was going through. Actually, it was kind of funny. Tech? It was kind of funny because I was having so many troubles with cars. I mean, first my car burned up. Getting an accident.
So then kind of like all the troubles you have with computers too.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. We have our websites of the week.
Yeah. So I ran into this particular website late one night, sitting around drinking a beer, and I texted Andy and I go, oh, wait, it's kind of late.
It was 12:30 in the morning.
No, it wasn't 12:30. Yes, it might have been 11:30.
But you're in a different time zone, aren't
you? No, I'm not. We're in the same time zone now, dummy. Anyway, right. I texted him and I'm like, hey, website of the week, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, wait, sorry, go back to bed.
Yeah.
And you never responded. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Well,
I woke up and looked at the phone and I said, okay. And then put it down.
Yeah. Okay. I can imagine you just kind of like fumbling for your glasses, like looking at like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever.
All right. So what is the website though?
Okay. It's usdebtclock.org. Debt is in D-E-B-T. So like the national debt.
Right.
usdebtclock.org.
Oh my gosh.
It's interesting because it's a constantly ticking debt clock. It talks about the U.S. national debt, Social Security, federal pensions. Even down here at the bottom, they have other things like energy output. You can click on the link here. That's a good website.
So if that one makes you sad, here's one that should put a smile on your face. And this works perfect for my agedness. TellMeDadJokes.com. And, you know, our dads always had the best jokes. I mean, my dad was kind of goofy.
That's subjective.
Well, my dad was goofy. He, you know, grew up watching the Goon Show, you know, British comedy. So he'd always try to make me laugh. And then he would tell me the silliest joke. And then he would do this crazy laugh that was, I guess, a big British thing.
Okay.
It would always have me going. It was pretty funny. Here, let me give you an idea. TellMeDadJokes.com. Why did the Scarecrow win an award?
I don't know.
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Right.
Give it a second. That's a dad joke. That's a joke a dad can tell
his
kid.
Here's one for you.
All right.
Why did the octopus beat the shark in a fight?
Something about the arms? I don't know what.
Because it was well armed.
Oh, I like that. Why did the girl smear peanut butter on the road?
I don't know.
To go with the traffic jam.
Oh, my goodness. A red and blue ship have just collided in the Caribbean.
Right.
Apparently, the survivors are marooned.
All right. Tell me.
Oh, my God. Okay. Hold on. One more.
All right.
I've deleted all the phone numbers of all the Germans I know from my mobile phone.
What?
It's now hands free. I got to giggle at that one a little
bit. That's a good one. All right. Check it out. TellMeDadJokes.com. We'll put the links up on our website. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back next week with more tech. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Don't forget, website is techtalkradio.com. I hope you all have a great week. And don't forget to give us a like on iTunes and Google Play. We would really appreciate it. See you next week.